Thanks, Rose. Right. We are continuing in Philippians today. And last week, Liz and Simon helped us to think about the relationship that Paul had with Timothy. And today we're looking in the next few verses with his relationship with a chap called Epaphroditus. And it's taken from the Message version this morning. So this is Paul speaking. But for right now, I'm dispatching Epaphroditus, my good friend and companion in my work. You sent him to help me out. Now I'm sending him to help you out. He has been wanting in the worst way to get back to you, especially since recovering from the illness you heard about. He's been wanting to get back and reassure you that he is fine. He nearly died, as you know, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, he had mercy on me too. His death would have been one huge grief piled on top of all the others. So you can see why I'm delighted to send him on to you. When you see him again, hale and hearty, how you'll rejoice and how relieved I'll be. Give him a grand welcome, a joyful embrace. People like him deserve the best you can give. Remember the ministry to me that you started but weren't able to complete? Well, in the process of finishing up that work, he put his life on the line and nearly died doing it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May I speak in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Great, and the children are busy with their activities. Thanks, Catherine. I met up with my prayer group on Friday on Zoom. I meet up with them three times a year, either in person or on Zoom. We meet different places in the country. And at the moment, the group consists of a retired bishop, principal of a theological college, a recently retired senior member clergy from London, a lecturer in law, and two parish priests. And on Friday, one said how angry and bitter they had been feeling about the culture of dishonesty within the hierarchy of the Church of England. They then said that a very good, wise friend of theirs had asked them if they had told God how angry they were. And they hadn't, and they did, and they felt much closer to God, felt more peace, felt his peace around them. And it's exactly the sort of thing my spiritual director would have said too. In fact, last time I met her on Skype, she said, "Henny, have you asked God what you need?" I hadn't. I have. I'm still waiting. Why am I sharing this with you this morning? Because I think these short verses about Epaphroditus and the verses just before that we thought about last Sunday about Timothy and Paul is about them being real with God, being real with one another about their weaknesses and vulnerabilities and their needs, at the same time as witnessing the love of Jesus and sharing the message, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified and has risen and is ascended and is sitting at the right hand of God, our Father, in the heavenly realms. Now, Tom Wright, a theologian, suggests that this passage gives us a window not only on Epaphroditus, which is his journeys, his mission, and his near-fatal illness, but also a window on Paul. He was truly glad to have Epaphroditus with him, and he had been really anxious that he might die. Verse 27, I think, is most revealing. Paul says that not only did God have mercy on Epaphroditus, but on him himself. His death would have been one huge grief piled on top of all the others. Remember, Paul is in prison, probably in Rome, and he's waiting trial, and he's waiting his execution. And yet throughout this letter to the Philippians, Paul talks about joy and rejoicing. He encourages the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord always. This joy is about hope. It's not about everything being happy the whole time. And Paul, though he talks about rejoicing in the Lord, he is not a stoic. Paul is not a stoic. He does not believe that humans should hide their emotions and feelings. Remember, even Jesus wept at the graveside of his friend Lazarus and in Gethsemane. And I don't think anyone here this morning would dare to rebuke Jesus about his feelings of grief and pain. I think I can hear sadness in Paul's voice as he says, though he is not sure when he will send Timothy, that's how it ended, he has made the decision to send Epaphroditus back to them immediately, now. Apparently, Epaphroditus has been longing to return, and Paul feels it would be selfish to hold him back, though he is his good friend and close companion in sharing the gospel of the good news. You sent him to me to help me out. Do you remember Epaphroditus took with some financial resources with him in two, and he says, now I'm sending him back to you. We read that Paul is delighted to send him, and other translations say eager to send him. But there must have been a sense of sadness, as he probably knew that he would never see Epaphroditus again. So give him a good welcome on his return, a joyful embrace. He nearly died doing God's work, so honor him, hold him in special respect. The world we live in today honors those who are intelligent and who are beautiful and who are rich and who are powerful. But Paul indicates that we should honor those who give their lives to Christ. In a way, this is a missionary letter. The Philippians sent Epaphroditus on their behalf to do the work that they couldn't do. Still today, missionaries are sent out in places to the world where others would not go. We at St. Mark's here at the moment, we don't have such missionaries, but we have members of the congregation who go out on short term to places in the world where we need, you know, where we pray for them and it's necessarily financially support them. That's why we support Open Doors and Tear Fund, who send people out that other people wouldn't go for practical and spiritual and physical needs. And Paul's description of Epaphroditus reminds us that whether we're first century apostles or 21st century converts, we are all vulnerable and we are all in need, and it's not good to hide our emotions and feelings from others. Paul was very open about his vulnerability and his weakness, as was Timothy, and so it seems was Epaphroditus. Week before last, I think it was, we had Deanery Synod here, and we had AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, who meet here every Wednesday night. And they came and spoke to us and shared their stories. And it made me remember in my last parish, there was a member of the congregation who said to me, and I'll never forget, she said, Henny, my fellowship is with AA each Sunday. I'm going to stop going to my home group, which we call them then. We call them life groups here. Because I can be real in my AA group. I can be vulnerable. I'm not judged. I can be transparent. And I felt so sad. And yet, as I shared this story at Deanery Synod, I could see people nodding their head in agreement that probably in their life groups, they don't feel that they can be vulnerable, honest, open, and perhaps not judged. I don't know. But I think this is really telling for us that people that God used in the Old and New Testament were not afraid to show their weaknesses and their needs. However, these three did not shy away from following the path that Jesus had called them to walk. It was a walk of sacrifice and humility and unity, having the same mind of Christ. They too had not sought their own well-being, but that of others, rather, that Ros was talking about. But they too were prepared to lay down their lives for Jesus. They too were and are visible reminders that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I've been praying and crying out to God about the church in general, and I was honest with Bishop Mark last Wednesday at a Rural Deans meeting, saying that my trust in the senior leadership of the Church of England is very fragile at the moment. And as I was praying, I saw Jesus sitting on the throne, saying, I am king. I am who I am, and no one else is sitting on the throne. And then the whole place under the throne shook, as if Jesus was shaking up the church and sifting the wheat from the chaff. Now, I know theologically that's going to happen at the end of time, but we cannot be comfortable and complacent followers of Jesus today, diluting the truth of the gospel so we fit in with the world around us. Do you remember what Paul said a few verses ahead, said about Timothy? Most people around here are looking out for themselves with little concern for the things about Jesus. That's similar to the world that we now live in. But Timothy, he is the real thing. He and I, we have worked together delivering the good message of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we too are being called to follow the path that Jesus has called and laid before us, not seeking our well-being, but that of others. And having the same love and unity and purpose and mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. So are we like Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus? Are we a visible reminder to others that Jesus is King? Are we visible reminders to others that Jesus is King? He is Lord. He is our Saviour. Amen. So let's just spend a little time. We've got three questions. If you can't read them, I'll read them out. They'll remain there. How difficult do you, me, find it to be vulnerable, honest, admit our weaknesses to others, and how good are we at asking for help and assistance? And even before this service began, someone admitted to me that they had found it very hard to ask for help. So it's not easy. Two, what do we find most challenging in these verses that we've just had read out to us about Epaphroditus? And what do you need to be if you are to be a visible reminder to others that Jesus is King?